private property. Stop. No trespassing. Preserve boundary. As we walk around Jikoji, we see those signs. But our practice is all-inclusive. All locations, all postures. Koban said that we can find samadhi in all actions, a myriad of actions. But he referred to sitting zazen as king samadhi. We tend to think of our core practice as something within these walls, just as others practice within the walls of cathedrals or churches, mosques. But for many of our wise forefathers, patriarchs, matriarchs, sages, some of whose words were briefly shared with us last night, the Emersons, the Muirs, Wu Men, Lao Tzu, King Solver and Dillard contemporarily. Nature was their cathedral, their zendo. And it is ours too. We do have a platform out here overlooking Peter's Creek, several platforms actually. And we have carried our practice out into nature. Recent years, outdoor keening has been a regular part of Manisha Singh's schedules. So this weekend we've tried to push that embrace. Practice that all-inclusiveness a little bit further than we've done in the past, at least in what I recall. We've certainly had many occasions over the 30 years of Jikoji's presence here on this sacred land to do zazen, to sit up on the hillside where we were bathed in moon glow last night. This weekend needn't be an anomaly in Njikoji's practice. It doesn't take three weather-beaten Dharma bums, as it was put in the newsletter, to get together and get outside of these Zendo walls and practice in a what might seem to be a less than usual way. But embracing trees like I saw Charles do along the trails here, the 100-year-old firs and having Ingrid find and share with us the scat along trails and rodents running up away from us and pressing leaves of numerous plants between her fingers and sharing us with us their scents, their uses, their textures. That too is becoming aware of who we are. As we walked around the pond this morning, we went by the five alders that Stephanie Kaza, one of Coburn's early students, well, she was a UCSC student, I believe, and in her book of many decades ago called Conversation with Trees, those trees and the lake and this environment were one of the chapters in that small book, a short chapter. More recently, I found an article by her in the Shambhala Sun a few years back. And she says there that we must understand our complete interdependence with nature, with all living things on this planet, not harming anything. The Buddhist principle, not harming anything. Finding joyful heart from our sensory contact with nature. Chikoji's blessed because of where it sits, where Coburn found a place to practice away from city lights, city noise, city busyness. Once again, our practice is all-inclusive. We practice where we are, and we certainly practice in those cities. But we're blessed to have this oasis just this place to find that joyful heart that Stephanie Kaza mentions in her article called Healing the Earth. Hearing the plane overhead in this pause reminds me once again of last night then, and who we share this land with. For as we were crossing the bridge just past the dam, a low-flying plane came by, making quite a sound, and it stirred a family of coyotes north of where we were. And thanks to the awareness that Ingrid and Chris, who was with us last night, had of coyotes and their behavior, it was made it an even richer experience. Not that it wouldn't have been without their words, but the chance that we have in our family and our Sangha. Naturalists like Liz and Ingrid and Chris and Charles. So gives us a way to tap into the richness that we sit in and out. Charles, Ingrid, do you have anything that you'd like to comment on or share with us?
I'm really grateful that Jikoji exists here in the middle of Mid-Peninsula Open Space, and Mid-Peninsula Open Space protects the olive. There are a force that protects life all around, and Jikoji protects life here. And I'm really grateful.
For those of you who haven't met Ingrid before, she's was a resident here with her family in the same space that's occupied now by Greg's room, the resident kitchen, the bathroom there, that whole corner. That was a very big room. And she and her family lived there for 5 years.
Well, 4.5. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She became intimate with the natural surroundings of Jikoji in its early years.
That space was still part, had the ancestry of Pacific High. That was the art, that whole building was the art room, and we made the little dark room into a little kitchen. So now it's been totally renovated.
Peter gave me this book called The Mindful Hiker by Stephen Altshuler. It's a wonderful little book about walking and sort of the Zen feeling. It's a very, it's talking about a particular area in Point Reyes National Seashore, trails, sky trail, but he can be his. Perspectives, his observations can be about walking and experiencing walking as a way to truly know the natural world and also practice the Buddhist mindfulness. I would recommend it. Thank Peter for that. And also, I just think that Peter did this type of retreat, meditation retreat. I feel that I was sort of stumbling along trying to figure out exactly how I would fit in, whether I would just give information, what type of spiritual feeling can I give? Could I give a walk? I don't know Dzogchen's land because as well as I would know where I live. I live in a very rural, natural area, far away, further away actually than Dzogchen is from urban. But I know it pretty intimately because I lived there all my life, not my life, 30 years. And so it was a bit of a struggle for me to try to, anybody that went on hikes at Tattoo that I led, I appreciate your patience and openness to what I was trying to do. Hopefully I can do it again, and I learned something from this one about how to do it. I think of Peter, his full moon hike is truly a masterful piece. I've just worked on it for so many years at Pinnacles. It's such a piece. Really, it's a beautiful thing. I'd like to say one other thing. First, that the natural world can be brought into the urban area. The wonderful gardeners. I remember one time going to Colvin's house in Los Altos, and he was showing me his garden, and I was just, wow, that's so beautiful. It's, you know, it just, the love that was put into it to bring the natural world into that space in an urban area. And even here, I mean, such a glorious garden. I don't know, Jerome and Michael, are you the main gardeners here?
At the moment.
God, it's just gorgeous. I mean, I just amazed how wonderful that garden is. Just sort of, every time I come, it just, so many different flowers and things in there, and the way the rocks, and just, ah. But on a more serious note, our human, modern human race, with our religion of growth, that we're destroying the natural world steadily, and according, and with a perspective of human history, it's very rapid. For the last, you know, 100 years, and it's just this to have places that are refuges, open spaces, parks, national and state and local parks, more and more pressure on them as our population grows, and the ferocious appetite to get everything we can out of this earth. We live in a, truly, I can't remember if it was H.G. Wells who wrote The Forbidden Planet. Is that right? Anyways, it's a book about this planet, and they have this machine, and it draws energy from everybody, everything, and it just, the more energy it gets, the bigger it gets, and the more energy it needs, until finally the whole planet just blows up. And I just, in many ways, feel that's what's happening. So I think the joy of experience what we have now, I don't know if I'm an optimist, that it seems so ingrained in our human um, you know, our culture. That I don't know if anybody can stop it. It's like this machine. The more energy that it uses, the bigger it gets, the more energy it needs. Anyways, that's... do what you can.
Charles, last few words. Reminding us what we're doing to this planet, to ourselves. Today is September 11th, 2011, and a lot of people's minds are full of memories, thoughts. We keep sort of bringing them up, remembering. What we have is here and now, and a mind that, as we know from our zazen, doesn't stop producing thoughts. But we practice being present. And as Charles said, you know, doing the best we can here and now. And the best we can do is do whatever we do with love and joy. That's what we can do this 9/11. In those years when I would lead that almost monthly hike at Pinnacles, and there was some imminent wave of concern or terror going through the human community, I would try to say or read something relevant at the point in those hikes where we would sit down like we did last night, not for a 40-minute zazen, but we would sit under the moonlight or starlight and be still and quiet for as long as the group was still and quiet. And I think it was in the time when the invasion of Iraq was imminent. That just before that hike, I had seen in the Santa Cruz Weekly newspaper a poem that once again was reprinted there because of, I guess, what we knew was inevitably going to happen by our government. So I'd like to close in reading that now, because it ties in both, you know, what a lot of people are thinking about their heads on this 11th of September. It ties in what we practice, being still. And it ties in our connection to Mother Earth. It was written by Pablo Neruda. He closes the poem with the words, "You keep quiet and I will go." Well, let's not do that. When I finish, that'll be the end of my talk, and we'll get up and put our cushions back, and then we'll bow out and go together. And I'm presuming there will be time before the lunch bell rings. So I encourage you to take a quiet walk around Jikoji. The sun has come, the fog has backed down to Santa Cruz, and let's embrace nature and practice in one of those myriad postures that Coben shared with us. Keeping quiet. Now we will count to 12, and we will all keep still for once on the face of the earth. Let's not speak any language. Let's stop for a second and not move our arms so much. It would be an exotic moment without rush, without engines. We would all be together in a sudden strangeness. Fishermen in the cold sea would not harm whales. And the man gathering salt would not look at his hurt hands. Those who prepare green wars, wars with gas, wars with fire, victories with no survivors, they would put on clean clothes and walk about with their brothers in the shade, doing nothing. What I want should not be confused with total inactivity. Life is what it is all about. If we were not so single-minded about keeping our lives moving, and for once could do nothing, perhaps a huge silence might interrupt this sadness of never understanding ourselves and of threatening ourselves with death. Perhaps the earth can teach us, as when everything seems to be dead in winter and later proves to be alive. Now I'll count to 12, and you keep quiet, and I will go. Pablo Neruda.